Hello and welcome to 23, the podcast for young, sharp-tongued and fucking fabulous people who love to talk shit.
You'll be joined by me, Kelsey Menzies.
And me, Bella Rutherford. This week, we are continuing the grilling session into our love lives. Mainly, Kelsey grilling me. Let's all be honest with ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
We are talking rejection, pregnancy scares, attachment issues and a whole lot more. But first, Kels, how was your week? Tell me about it.
I'm pretty sure that you can guess this. My week was busy and fucked.
Wow, we're all so shocked.
So surprised. But you know what? This was a week when I got shit done, where things are coming together.
Snaps for Curly.
Snaps. I'm producing a short film for like my major degree work project thing.
You know how you should probably learn what it is.
Well, it's a capstone, but every single time I tell people I'm doing a capstone, they go, what the fuck is a capstone?
Sounds very important. I can't eat when we do this, can I?
Bella's trying to eat cucumber and it's very distracting.
Okay, Kelsey made me, Kelsey made me a lit cheese platter and it's sitting in front of me and I cannot say no to snacks. Have you met me?
Yeah, I feel like this was kind of my fault.
I am the queen of snacks.
You are the queen. I remember when you used to, like, you would not leave the house without a nut bag.
I still don't leave the house without a bag of nuts.
It works even when you're an adult.
A bag of nuts is still my go-to sometimes. A piece of fruit, depending on my mood. This if I feel like fresh or salty.
This, oh my God, this is not translating well at all.
I don't really care. Everyone can suck it up and I'll get on with my nuts.
What I was trying to say before.
Sorry, I interrupted.
Before Bella interrupted me by eating cucumber. Yeah, you know when you do your HSC, you have to do major works?
It's like that. A
capstone is a major work. So I'm doing a short film. It's called Super Slut. I'm also doing a journalism capstone, which is something that you guys will get to hear
because
soon enough.
Using us for a university project.
It's really good. It's called Mic Check. It's about diversity in the music industry and about white privilege and gatekeepers. It's fabulous.
It's going to be really cool.
Great.
Really excited.
And yeah, that was my week. So still busy as fuck, but kicking goals. So that's a good thing. Bella, how was your week?
My week was the complete opposite.
Yeah, you up in Byron Bay the whole
time. I kicked no goals. I went away with one of my friends, went to visit one of my other girlfriends who lives up the coast. It was really nice to just hit pause for a second. I'm on uni holidays at the moment and things have been a bit hectic. So I thought, let's just take a hot minute, pull back.
Self-love.
Read a book or three.
Did you read three books?
Yeah, two and a half.
Okay. That's still a pretty good effort.
Not quite through there.
What did you read?
I read Crazy Rich Asians, which is incredible. Loved it.
I've only seen the movie.
I read another, I'm almost finished a new book called It's Such a Fun Age. It was in Reese Witherspoon's book club. And then I also ate lots of yummy food, Acai Bowl City.
Oh, yum.
Anywho. So yeah, good week. It was really nice just to take some time and relax and hit the reset button. And now I'm back ready to rock and roll.
How fun.
I think. Probably not.
If it's not a fuck yes, it's a no.
And now we're ready.
To do what?
Let the grilling continue.
Bow chicka wow wow.
That's our new transition.
Now you don't even have to transition because I just did it.
Yeah.
You can just leave that in there. I am so ready to be grilled. Not actually.
Well, before we do the grilling, I don't know if anybody is aware, but Flex Mommy has the coolest game called Reflex. We're not sponsored at all. Not that we ever would be, but
we'd love to be, just side note. And also are going to play it regardless.
Yeah, going to play it regardless.
So here we are.
This game is what you want to bring out with your friends if you want to like actually talk about some real shit.
So let's just
get right into it. We're going to draw one card each.
It's not that we really need prompting. We just are entertained by games and want a prompt.
Yeah, exactly. And really. Also they're so fucking pretty.
They are super pretty. Oh, Kels, go.
I know. So just I'm going to... No,
jumping
you,
right
should
in.
Should I put one for you or you put one for me?
Ooh. I put one for you first because
okay,
I want to go second. Question one, Kelsey Menzies. How would this experience be different if there were no drugs or alcohol involved? Wow, that is so scary. As we just take a sip of our wine.
We literally just poured our second glasses of wine. I would think that it would kind of be exactly the same.
Okay, cool. That's what I was going to say too. Yeah. I don't think it'd be very different.
If we were doing this 8 glasses of wine deep, I reckon I would probably say probably a lot more refined. But right now, I think we're doing a pretty good job.
Oh my God, it would be like a little bit concerning if we were doing this 8 glasses deep. I just don't know how
that
would end up.
I don't think we could ever do that.
I can't.
Should we put it?
Do we do that? Guys, do you want to hear us do a drunk pod?
No, never.
Come
That's
on.
A terrible idea.
Keep that in there, Kelsey.
Round two.
What's one thing you did that you really wish you could go back and undo. There are so many things.
Honestly, my brain just went like, you know,
like shuffled all the cards. Yeah,
you know
in
that
your brain.
Meme where that woman's like looking up into like the nothing and
there's mass equations. Yeah.
Oh, in The Hangover when he does that.
Oh yeah, when he's at the card table, Alan. Sorry. Okay, guys, apologies. We've lost it today. So if there's just like giggling throughout this, you're just going to have to deal. Yeah,
we're in very giggly moods today. I wish that I continued doing band. By the time I got to high school, I'd been forced my whole life and I was like the typical fuck you, mum. I'm not doing what you tell me to do anymore. And I regret it.
Can you ask me another one? I want a fun one.
How do you want to die?
I want a spicy one.
You just want ones that are sex related.
I'm just trying to stay current to the podcast topic, Kelsey.
Oh, would you rather live without love or money?
Money.
Oh, interesting. What's something you'd never do? I thought anal.
Anal? Oh my God. How did that just happen when that was the first thing that popped into both of our minds?
I don't actually know if that's me saying that or if it's just what society has taught me to say, because something in my brain just went, I know what I should say to this, and it's that.
Anal.
Okay, before I get to grilling you, I actually find out something really fucking interesting. No, this is the nerd in me.
Oh.
So you know that feeling when you first meet somebody and it's all hot and heavy and it's exciting and there's like...
And super stressful and anxiety driven.
No,
yes.
I'm not talking about that side of it. I'm talking about the nice...
The pleasant side.
The pleasant, you know, that giddy feeling that you get, the butterflies in your stomach. I found the scientific...
I'm just raining on Kelsey's parade. Sorry, continue.
Can you let me be a nerd for a second?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I found the scientific word for what that feeling is.
Tell me.
It is... I can find it.
Oh, here we go. She's lost it. Sorry.
Limerence.
We're just going to Google it. Limerence is a state of mind which results from a romantic attraction to another person and typically includes obsessive thoughts and fantasies and a desire to form or maintain a relationship with the object of love and have one's feelings reciprocated.
That is the giddy, gross feeling. So look, I just wanted to start off by putting some knowledge in people's brains.
Yeah, here's some fun words for your vocabulary.
I feel like if you're ever in trivia, that will come in handy. Put that in the bank for later.
Or if you ever fall in love and you're at the beginning, you can say, huh, limerence.
Hey, I know this feeling. Oh, this is a fun question.
I'm stressed.
Is your sex life more thrilling when you're not in a relationship because you always have limerence? Or is it exhausting?
Yes and no. This is an interesting point because I think that... When you start dating somebody and then you fall into, you know, your habitual routine after however long it is, it's different for everybody, and you become comfortable, those little sparks kind of fade a little bit. They change. They evolve. They morph into different things. They morph into different areas and they manifest in different situations. It's not that instantaneous, I want to rip your clothes off 24/7 situation, which is usually what it's like towards the beginning. I think that it is maintained, but it can lose its entertainment value quickly. It just depends on what situation you're in. And it depends on the other person. If they keep it fun and light and entertaining, it's great. If they start ghosting you or are kind of rude or annoying or say stuff out of line, then it's like, I'm good. Actually.
Well, coming from the perspective of a long-term relationship.
Oh, yeah, tell us.
So I was doing some digging and it turns out that it's very normal for people in long-term relationships or even just after a year that women become bored with sex. And it's not that they're bored with sex as a construct. It's that we crave novelty. This one line in an article said something along the lines of lots of people who get married and have kids, they blame not having sex on just, you know, we have kids and it's busy. But what's really happening is that it's like the monotonous routine that just also just being with somebody for such a long time. I mean, you can't help but get bored.
I have a huge issue with this social construct that kind of semi-dictates how our society functions, that we meet somebody, we fall in love, it's fun at the beginning, it becomes habitual routine, the novelty is lost, and then all of these other factors start to come into play, the more serious it gets, and we use them as scapegoats or excuses. Your relationship is a constant work in progress, and if you want to work on keeping that fun and entertaining section of your relationship alive. Like, you both have to work on it together.
Yeah, well,
and you can't use those as scapegoats.
So Newsweek did this article titled "Moving in with your boyfriend can kill your sex drive." Mm-hmm. And this, it's funny because Nathan's in the next room and he's listening to this right now.
Hey Nay.
But we're moving in together next year, and I'm after doing, maybe I think I've like scared myself now, because after doing this research, I'm like, am I gonna lose my sex drive? That's really scary. Like, I don't want to lose my sex drive.
Also, can I just quickly add in, you've been dating for what, 4 years, 5 years?
Four.
You've pretty much been living together the whole time.
Yeah, true, we have.
So just being geographically in the same space with your same shit doesn't mean you haven't been doing it this whole time anyway. And you guys have kept it alive really well.
Well, okay, I want to read this out just to contextualize this. So a study of more than 11,500 British adults aged 16 to 74, it's found that for women only, lack of interest in sex was higher among those in relationship over 1 year in duration, and that women living with partners were more likely to lack interest in sex than those in other relationship categories. Why is it?
I.e. like casual sex partners.
Yeah, I'm guessing. I feel like it can be really demoralizing. I've gone through times when I'm just not interested in sex.
We all go through waves. We're human beings.
Yeah. I think
it's ludicrous for us to think that we're going to be ready and on constantly.
I think that's the narrative that we're told, that we have to be ready and on and in love 24/7. And
so unachievable.
Well, it's like, you know that you're with your partner because you love them. And I think this is when love diverges. It's like you love someone because it's fun and it's new and it's entertaining. And then it diverges into unconditional love. And that's why I feel like you can fall into patterns where you just go, you don't feel like putting in as much effort because it's unconditional, but it's human. It's completely human. And you shouldn't be, if that's happening to you, if you're in a long-term relationship and you're feeling like that, you're not alone. Everybody's in the same boat.
Also, just a side observation, the stakes are so much higher when you're in a monogamous relationship, just the two of you. There are so many other factors that come into play. If you're having casual sex with 1, 2, 3, 4, 10 people, there are no responsibilities in that dynamic other than being a respectful, decent human being. And you can say no at any point. It's not expected. The expectations are so much lower. You hold lots of power and control because you're not so ingrained in their life. And I think that that's where this like juxtaposition sits in regards to casual sex is super fun and it's amazing, but there's not a lot else involved other than that. Mm.
And also there's always that thing where sex with a long-term partner, or even just like a semi long-term partner, or like even just like a good fuck buddy, is always better than just one night stand.
They're random.
Because
I agree.
I mean, I don't have much experience in that corner, but just on monogamy, would you ever enter into a polygamous relationship?
Ooh.
If you met somebody that was, you know, everything that you wanted and was tall, dark and dickhead, but not that much of a dickhead, which is what you're aiming for. But he said, I want to keep this open and I want to like see other people. And how would you feel about that?
It fully would depend on where I was at with my life. Like if I finally had gotten to a point where I thought that maybe I would want to get into a monogamous, secure, stable relationship with somebody, I probably wouldn't roll with it because it'd be a bit stressful. And also, we've all got to stop lying to ourselves, like figure out what you want and then keep that at the forefront of your mind when you're navigating the dating world. So if I was at a point, you know, possibly right now, if something like that were to come up, I might explore it. If the respect was equal, if it was honest and transparent constantly, absolutely. However, I think I'm kind of living in a fantasy land if I think that's going to happen, because when it comes to sex and dating, it's a fucking nightmare.
I feel like when you're not in a relationship, you look at it from the outside and you kind of,
theoretically it sounds wonderful. In practice, I think it'd be a nightmare.
Who knows? I feel like we know it works for some people.
Yeah, absolutely. And I wouldn't ever say no to like exploring that idea if that came about. Oh, Kelsey.
No, well, just
are you looking for a third wheel?
Do you want to jump on this train? Well, there is this idea that humans aren't meant to be monogamous. I told my sister that I was going to be talking about this, and she's like a science nerd, so she was like, make sure you get your research papers. And sorry, thanks, Storm. I didn't have time to look it up.
We'll put some links for research papers in our show description so you guys can check them out.
I feel like I have this so much conflict going on in my brain, because on one side I'm like super progressive and logical, and like my years of doing science and social studies and everything like that comes into play, and that is one half of my brain. And then the other half of my brain is just like chained down by, not, it's not even chained down, I wouldn't say, but just is just like the product of being in the society that we've been brought up in. And they're constantly in conflict because I don't logically believe in marriage. I think the concept is very archaic.
Because it's a religious construct.
Exactly. I'm not religious myself. And I don't think it's right for me to.
Also, it's a man passing a woman away to another man, like exchanging property, if you look at it.
Yeah. Well,
which my little feminist heart breaks.
Yeah. Well, like this is the thing. Like I know this. I know this logically. And but
however, that is the historical construct. In current modern day, marriage is different.
Yeah.
Or like how progressive.
Yeah, it is evolved. It is
adapt it.
Yeah, it is evolved past that. But so I have this conflict where I'm like, no, marriage is stupid. But then for some reason I still want to get married. Like, I don't know why, but I just do. I don't think there even needs to be an explanation for it either.
Not if you don't want there to be. I think it's just more like showing your appreciation and showing your love for the other person.
Okay, next question. Do you have anybody on the back burner right now?
Oh, sure. There's many of them. There's just a whole long line of people.
Do you know what I mean by back burner?
No.
So when I say back burner, I'm talking about people that you kind of, you keep the communication lines open and it's active.
Then
and
yes.
It's kind of like a, like we're not working right now, but kind of keeping that line open for future.
However, I know my brain so well and I know myself so well. That's like, it's like we're not working now and I know we'll never work, but this is kind of fun. That's why. It's not that I think that it's ever going to work.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like I'm realistic with myself.
That's irresponsible of you.
Yeah, but it's irresponsible of both of us and we're both participating.
But surely, like, do you have...
However, that is just me being a hyper-realist too. So I very well could be wrong.
Do you think you're on anybody's back burner?
Absolutely do I think that.
Does that make you upset?
No, because...
I have options.
I'm not being treated disrespectfully in any of these contexts and I'm not being disrespectful. Like if... This is the thing. It's like when you're keeping somebody at arm's length, like it's fun and casual. If someone's feelings were to change, i.e. mine or the person's, and they were to get serious or they were to progress it any further and I wasn't interested, I would 100% say we're obviously at different points. Let's just leave it. But we're both kind of existing in the same – everyone who I kind of have in this context in my life, we're both existing in similar spaces in that it's just fun, it's there. When it works and when it's not, it's not.
Yeah.
And no one's being rude or disrespectful or using the other person in any way.
I feel like it would suck to be on the back burner. If it wasn't as like agreeable as yours. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that would be really hard.
Which happens to lots of people. In saying that, I very well could be on people's back burners and not know it.
True.
And just be like chilling.
Have you ever had a boyfriend say to you, this is not working for right now? But maybe later.
Yeah, I have. And it's now or never, honey. You can't just use me when it works and not when it doesn't.
Well, that's what I'm talking about.
Oh, okay. Well, in that context, fuck yeah. But that was in a relationship. That wasn't in casual dating context. This is more like, I really love you and I think you're wonderful, but I think that it's not the best right now. However, I want to marry you and have your babies.
That's very confusing.
That's not how it works. So sorry. We are not placeholders. I'm not a bookmark. I never have been and I never will be. If you want to be with me right now, awesome. If you want to work on yourself and get to a point where you feel like you want to be with me, great. I'm not waiting around for you to sort your shit out.
Damn.
Oh, I'm done.
That is nice.
Thanks.
Bella, I'm kind of going to get a little bit serious now. No, you have to ask me a question.
This is a really important one, which I think you're going to have a really wonderful take on. Career or relationship, what should you prioritize at 23 or in your early 20s?
See, this...
This is a... loaded ass question.
This is loaded because I've had this conversation with Nathan before. I want to get
this conversation with me before.
Yeah, I really want to get into radio. And a lot of the time when people go into radio is that they have to go regional first. There is a high possibility that I might be going away somewhere, or there may not be. Like, there are lots of jobs in Sydney that I would also really like to do, like video editing, audio editing, producing. That's what I really want to do. So there are other options, but if I was to get a job in, let's say, Bathurst or Dubbo, I would 100% go. I would 100% do it.
And then what would happen with your relationship?
Well, Nathan and I have had a lot of conversations about this happening.
Well, because it's super possible.
Well, it is super possible. And at the moment, I honestly think I need to prioritize myself.
Cool.
And that's not saying that I don't want to continue. I mean, I know that in the media we hear a lot of these stories that long distance never works. It doesn't work like that. And in some cases, yeah, that's true. But in a lot of cases, it's not either. Long distance can definitely work. If long distance starts affecting your mental health and starts really getting you down, well, then rethink your options. If long distance isn't working, then it's like trying to fit, in the words of Missy Higgins once again, you can't fit a triangle through a circle.
Thank you, Missy Higgins.
Thank you, Missy Higgins.
Wonderful metaphor.
Yeah, it is such a hard question because, I mean, if I was...
There's also no right or wrong answer. Every situation is individual. And I think that you just kind of have to take it as it comes and be adaptive. And as long, I know that I was much younger when I did long distance, but honesty is always the best policy.
Yeah.
In regards to what's happening in your life, but then also how you're feeling.
And that's the thing. I think it kind of depends on your relationship. Because if you don't have a relationship built on trust, long distance is not going to work. Let me tell you this right now.
Couldn't agree with you
more. In the context of my own relationship, our whole relationship is built on trust and honesty and open communication. So I would not have any issues at least giving it a really good go of long distance. I would 100% do that because I trust my partner and we support each other.
And I think it's important as well to acknowledge at this particular age, in this particular period that we're in, and younger and older than us, but in this bubble of the 20s, you really do have to learn how to compromise, but also learn how to prioritize yourself and know how to navigate that push and pull back and forth. And I definitely think that there are points that you're going to have to put yourself first, and it's really important that you do, and it's important that you prioritize yourself and your mental health. But then on the other end, if you are sharing your life with somebody, you do have to consider them and you do have to be a decent person and be respectful to their needs and their wants as well.
I think that question is so contextual. It matters. It is so dependent on the type of relationship that you're in, who you're dating, what your history is. It's not like everything that happens in our
20s. It's not one size fits all.
And it's not black and white either.
Nope.
It's a huge gray area. So to whoever sent that question in.
Oh, yeah. Thanks to our listeners for sending in that question.
Yeah. My advice would be analyze your relationship. Do you trust this person or do you not trust this person? If you trust them, undoubtedly, and I'm not talking like the fake stuff that you tell your friends, I'm talking about, do you wholeheartedly, deep down, trust this person? And if you do, you literally have nothing to lose but to try. You owe each other that much if you've been in a long-term relationship. If you don't and there has been cheating or shady shit going on, then I'm sorry, but it would just never fucking work. I've had this with friends in the past that have done long distance with people that are just not trustworthy. You just end up putting yourselves through torture. Look, in either situations, either way, you come first at the end of the day.
This is a really fucking important topic that I really, really, really want to cover. This is a huge issue in the dating world, just in general, especially when you're entering in the dating world and you're learning how to navigate it for the first time and figuring out what's okay, what's not okay, who's a fuck boy, who's a fuck girl. Because we both genders have the capacity to be fucking.
Are you a fuck girl?
Yeah, probably in some situations I have been, definitely.
Thanks for the honesty.
Oh, Kelsey, you nodding? She's like, yeah, say like, yes, because you are.
We have an objective friendship.
And I love it so much. And she's eating cheese. Yeah, no, I definitely have been in some contexts. I probably still am and I probably still will be into the future. So one of our listeners sent in a message saying, rejection, why isn't he texting you back? Why hasn't he called? And the excuses we make and tell ourselves like, he's just not that into you. I just wanted to talk about dealing with rejection from my really personal point of view because I think it's really important that we learn to navigate this space a little bit better because I think everybody's horrible at it. I mean, all the experiences I've had so far, nobody has done it very well, apart from one person, has dealt with me rejecting them beautifully.
Who was that?
A boy that I talked to for a while and then went on a date with. And Kelsey's looking at me like, I need
tell
context.
Me the name.
I'm
now.
Not naming.
Well, you wouldn't put it in. Just tell me what it is.
So met this guy when I was on holidays. We chatted for a while. He was really lovely. We went on a date. I'd just got out of a long-term relationship, so I was not ready to dive back into anything even remotely serious. And we went on a date. It was really pleasant. He was really nice. And afterwards, I realized that it wasn't right for me. And I contacted him and said, hey, it was really nice meeting you. I think you're a great human being. However, I'm just not at this point yet. And I'm not going to, you know, continue this and drag you along for no reason. I think it's really unfair. And his response was, all good. Thanks so much for being honest. I really appreciate it. I hope you have a good life. If I ever run into you, love to have a chat and say, hey, cool.
What a legend.
Wonderful. It is so daunting to be the executor or the practitioner of the, I think it's stupid calling it rejection, but I'll just call it rejection for this context. But just learning how to navigate where you're feeling, where you're at, what you actually want, and saying thanks but no thanks in a really polite and respectful way is a really important thing to learn.
Okay. There have been a lot of times in my life where friends, acquaintances, people that I know will say to me, oh my gosh, they've ghosted me. That's so rude. And of course, my reaction is, yeah, fuck that. That's really rude. As if people don't have the decency to say, sorry, not, yeah, like you said, thank you, but no thank you. But then in the same circumstances, these people come and tell me that they've seen someone, they don't like them, and they just won't reply.
But this is what I mean. It has to be, if you're, you have to practice what you preach. And that is what I've learned with myself. And that's what I've started doing more. But I think it's really important. We as young people in the dating world, boys and girls together, all together in one nice little happy bunch of human beings, have to learn to be honest with whoever we're dating, be transparent, and be decent and respectful.
I agree that you obviously need to be open and transparent with whoever it is that you're seeing, whether it is a casual relationship or, I mean, I don't know how many times you need to be super honest with a one night stand. But in saying that, it is so human to not know how to have these conversations.
I'm not, oh my, yeah, I completely agree. It's so difficult. Mm. It's so stressful. I don't want this to come from a place of me preaching or being judgmental. This is more like a social observation in that in my experience in the dating world, I'm yet to experience, apart from one situation, somebody being
genuinely okay with being rejected.
Or being open about not wanting to be with me.
Why are we so, like, why is it so hard for us to just be honest? Why is that
because
hard?
Because it's so scary. It's so scary feeling the pressure of rejecting somebody. How stressful that whole weight is sitting on your shoulders that you're going to let somebody down.
Okay, next question. Have you ever had a pregnancy scare? And what was that like?
Yes. Fucking scary. Next. Kidding. Yes, I have. I feel like pregnancy scares are so much more common than we think, and they're so stigmatized.
It would be world shaking right now if I was to get pregnant. I honestly, as much as my knee-jerk reaction is to say, oh, yeah, I would just not have the baby. When it came down to it, who fucking knows what you would do? And
it's so much more complex than that.
Yeah,
and
I think also we
ignore the complexity of it a little bit, or we just don't acknowledge the complexity of it.
How many times have you had a conversation with your friends about, okay, but seriously, if I was to get pregnant, what do you think you would actually do?
Yeah, I had this conversation like 3 days ago.
Yeah, well, I feel like it's not something that comes up all that often.
When you're casually dating and when you're in a long-term relationship, it's something as women specifically and men via association need to understand better. We need to be taught, which we are going to do a huge podcast on sex education, because all we get taught is how to put a condom on a banana, which last time I looked, a penis isn't a banana.
No.
A banana's a banana and a penis is a penis.
Anyway, I think that's a topic that...
This is something that I am very passionate about and I would like to go into in depth and...
Not in a rapid fire question session. Next one.
Ooh, rapid fire question session.
That is a really good fucking name.
I know. Why does he only message me on a Saturday night at 11:59 p.m. saying you up? I know the answer to this question, but Kels, because yours is going to be way less intense than mine is.
He wants the V. Oh. He wants the V.
That's what I was going to say. I wasn't going to sing it, but I was going to say it.
If you're thinking anything else, then you're kidding yourself.
And also,
I think we have this like.
If you're like ready for a you up text and that's what you want, roll with it.
If that's what you want.
If that's what you want, go with it. If it's not what you want, skedaddle because he's never going to send you anything else other than that message.
But this is the thing. When you're in these situations, you can't be told otherwise. It's like when your friend is dating a dickhead, you can scream it in their ears for years saying you're dating an asshole and they will just never, they'll never take it on board.
Kelsey's done this to me many a time.
Many a times. So, I mean, as much as we like to sit here and say this, we have the benefit of hindsight and you have the benefit of experience. But
I think it's keeping this thought in your head though. I think it's something that we like kind of learning it, understanding it a little bit and like hopefully retaining the concept.
Yeah.
Because I think it's easy to hear. It's difficult to retain.
It is.
So let's start retaining. I don't know if I've ever gotten one of those messages.
If anybody
I kind of feel left out.
If anybody can't be bothered to say, hi, how are you?
I usually get those ones, which is way nicer.
If anybody's just texting you, you up? If they can't
especially
be bothered,
if they don't say YOU, if it's just a you, by golly, do they not give a flying fuck?
If anybody can't be bothered to spell properly, then run. In saying that, if you can't be bothered to spell properly
and you want to
go for it,
have a little hot moment, go for it. Yeah. Okay. Why does he only message me on Instagram? Because it's way more casual than texting.
Well, just in the context of, I know, we need to stop.
We're gonna stop eating.
Well, in the context, okay. So, for my journalism capstone, I recently spoke to a researcher who does a lot of research into music and music in the digital age. And something I found really interesting was that artists, they put on different personas for different platforms. Also, they have like their artist persona and then they have their just normal person persona. So, and that's not uncommon, right? Like how many, it's like that thing where it's like never meet your heroes because usually your hero is a completely different person on screen than what they are in real life.
You're performing in different capacities because they have, you have different motivations and different end goals.
So I don't know. I feel like it has a lot to do with the different personas that we make when we're on different platforms.
I agree.
Maybe that's just me.
I like that. Okay. So we have had a discussion about this and we wanted to talk about it on here because it's a very pertinent topic in our world and in everybody's world. Non-negotiables. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kelsey is smiling and nodding. Non-negotiables are something that I've definitely become way more aware of in the last year. What works for me, what doesn't, what I'm willing to put up with, and what I'm going to say fuck no to.
You know what I have a fuck no to?
Ooh. I have one too. So you go first and then I'll go second.
One of my fuck no's is I will never be with somebody that takes my passion as being bitchy or being outspoken. No, just because I'm passionate does not mean I'm a bitch. It just means that I have something to fight for and I've educated myself on something. If somebody feels challenged by that, then
it's usually threatened.
That's what I was going to say. If somebody feels threatened by that, then I'm sorry, but I can't handle you. This is it. Take me or leave me. This is it.
I think that's great. And I think that more people should be like that and more people should trust their gut and know that, I mean, we're both very outspoken, opinionated women, in case you haven't noticed already. So definitely coming across men that feel threatened or feel uncomfortable or don't like to unpack complex issues or don't acknowledge my assertiveness and my drive and my passion, as you said, as being valuable and worthwhile. It drives me insane.
So what's one of your non-negotiables?
Well, I have lots of non-negotiables and that the ones that you have listed are very high on my list. However, one that I have personally experienced that is something that I have learned is definitely a non-fucking negotiable is dishonesty and cheating. I just think that this is something that, especially in the social media age, I feel like we're experiencing more on different levels. And this concept of dishonesty and cheating, I think it usually falls in the physical category. However, emotional cheating is equal.
Just as bad.
Just as bad, just as hurtful. And it needs to be recognized as an equal factor in this particular context.
Yeah, I've had so many times I've had guys tell me that, well, he didn't actually like touch her, so why does it matter?
He didn't kiss her though, but did they sleep together? Because if they didn't sleep together, then does it really count?
Yeah, yeah, it does count.
If he was talking to somebody behind my back and lying to my face, then you best believe that that's cheating. And if you think otherwise, you're lying to yourself and you're lying to your partner.
I think as women, we're taught that it's okay if he did, like, he didn't actually cheat on you, so it's okay. We get
gaslighted. Do you think that emotional cheating isn't that bad?
But it is that bad.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, it holds exactly the same weight as physical cheating does.
Most of the time, you don't start a relationship purely on sex. You start a relationship off the chemistry and off the how friendly you are with each other and how well you get along and how your conversation flows. If somebody is going out of their way to do that with another person behind your back and it's active and they're cognizant about it, that is still cheating. There's this kind of thing where, like, men just have a higher sex drive, so it's not really their fault if false. They do these things. Not true. But I'm not saying that it's true. I'm saying that
I know, I'm just at saying
least like yeah. At least in the media, it's kind of that whole sentiment of boys will be boys. It's like, no, boys will be held accountable for their actions and they will learn
from welcome. Them. As will girls.
As will girls.
100%. On both sides of the spectrum. Girls do it too. Absolutely. We got some work to do.
My last question to you, Bella.
Oh God.
Do you think you've stayed in relationships not because you're in love, but because you're attached?
Absolutely.
How so?
In different capacities. I think in my younger relationship, because I didn't know anything else, I thought that that was it. And I thought that I was then linked to this person for the rest of my life and that was my only option. And I didn't think I had any other options. Therefore, I stayed way past the use-by date on that relationship, which taught me to not stay in something just because I didn't think I had any other options, because now I realize that I do. And then in a different context, staying because you feel safe and because you feel comfortable and because you get into a routine and you don't know how you'd function in that routine without that person, which is so codependent and is something that I need to stop doing. And I think that's something that lots of people do. You hear stories about that all the time. They've been together for 5 years, so they're just going to keep dating.
Yeah.
If you're not happy, you're not happy. Do not stay attached to somebody because you feel obliged or because you're scared of what else is out there.
The Conversation did a really good piece about this back in 2019, which we'll put in the show notes. But in a nutshell, how we form attachments is determined from the types of relationships we establish with our parents as young children, resulting in attachment styles as such. There's secure, anxious, avoidant, and anxious avoidant styles. So if a parent fulfills the emotional and physical needs of their young and responds to distressing situations with support, then the child will form secure attachments, which reverberates into relationships we form in adulthood. And if not, then more anxious attachment styles are formed, which also bleeds into adulthood and can have overt and covert effects. So how intimate we get, how we maintain or end relationships are all affected by our attachment styles. Well, that's what this psychological school of thought kind of insinuates. So secure attachments usually tend to be able to end relationships easily if they aren't serving them, because you don't rely on others to feel safe. You've been fulfilled in that way. I have an anxious attachment style, which I know because I did a little test a while ago. But so I find it hard to confront my partner out of fear of rejection, pretty much. I'm not so secure in myself, so I rely on my partners to make me feel secure. Well, at least I used to. I've been working on deciphering what I want instead of what my insecurities want. So it's the work in progress, but being aware of the innate bias you have when it comes to how much you rely on your relationships is really fucking important, I think.
We all struggle with this idea of being by ourselves or leaving the comfort of a relationship, the security of a relationship. But at the end of the day, if it's not serving you and if it's bringing you more pain than it is joy, it is not good for you. It is not healthy for you. And there are better things out there, including within yourself. There are better things within yourself that you can work on and foster to serve you better than you're being served at that current point in time.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we're running out of time. So
hold on. I want to do one more Flex Mommy question.
Okay.
Wee-hee. Okay, Kelsey. Ooh. If we're saying it wrong, apologies, but we love you regardless, so that's what really counts. Kelsey, what's the best thing about being you? Oh, what a nice question. That's the perfect way to end, because at the end of the day, you got to love yourself first, ladies and gentlemen, and everybody in the world.
Oh, I don't know. What is the best thing about me?
What is the best thing about being you, not the best thing about you?
Right, okay. Probably I get shit done and I am not afraid to learn something new
or speak your mind.
Yeah.
Which is wonderful.
Yeah. What's the best thing about being you? Illogically merry all the time is what I would say.
I was going to say the positive bias in my brain is my favorite part about being me.
That's a good thing.
It's fun. She loves a taco. And
what does that have to do with anything?
Because tacos make me feel happy.
True. Okay.
Cool.
Granted.
Okay.
Okay.
Well, that was fun.
So thank you for listening to our ramble today. We had a lot of fun.
A bit too much fun.
A bit too much fun. The best way to support us, if you would like to, please, is follow us on Spotify or subscribe to us. Click that little subscribe button on your Apple Podcast app. Or you can just follow us at 23_podcast on Instagram. And that's 23 the number, not 23 the spelling, as Bella has clarified for us so many times before.
But we still fuck it up every time. Also, every if time. You want to leave us a review on Apple, we would love that. We'd love to hear your thoughts. If you want to reply to one of our stories or leave a comment on one of our Instagram photos or send us a DM, we'd love that too. We love to hear your thoughts and feedback.
Yeah,
because we're here for constructive criticism, even though it scares the shit out of us.
Yeah. Anyway,
scary.
Thanks, Bella.
Lots of love.
Bye.
Bye.